This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All right, good morning, everyone. A couple of new faces, so we're excited. A couple of old faces looks new this morning. Maybe it's something that you changed in the appearance. Some good makeup and stuff, but we are so glad that you are here. We are so grateful that you've joined us this morning. So for those of you that do not know me, my name is JP. I have a beautiful wife and three beautiful children, and we run around in this church together with everyone else to make it worthwhile that every Sunday morning when we get together, it becomes a memorable moment for all of us. And it's not just a memorable moment, but something that we can apply during the week. So this morning, we are going to continue with the second part of recognizing God in the situation. And let me just tell you one thing, that if you preach something to somebody, be sure to know that God's going to test you on it. Okay? So my hand goes up immediately when I say that, because this week, the sermon is also part of a testimony of what happened this week. So, celebrate with me. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because I stand in awe again at the end of this week, realizing how God protected me through the situations that I've gone through my challenges. And for me, it was initially a very good situation. And let me elaborate a bit. So I'm in the process of selling my Bucky because we want to buy another one and just be downsized a slight bit. So I've got this caller, this buyer who wants to buy the vehicle. And he's been contacting me since last week. And I just realized, you know what, I'm not going to give you a vehicle that's not in a good state. And there's a couple of things that had to be repaired. So I took it in to the mechanical doctor, and he started sorting things out. And the day that it was finished, I phoned the guy up, said, listen, you're still excited about the vehicle? He's all good, and we're going to meet. So Wednesday morning, I meet up with him, and I took him I take the car to him, and we drive around, in a sense, drive around the city. So eventually he says to me, it's fine, I'll take the buckets and good nick. Everything is in place. I'm not telling it to you so that you can buy it. It's just a matter of, listen, this guy was honest about it and serious. He wanted to buy it. So we get in the car and he says, no, but he's just going to go pick up the money from a guy. He phones the guy. He says, another guy says, no, you've got to keep in mind there's a lot of guys that's part of this story. And you'll understand at the end why things happening and how they happen. So here we are, we're driving. He says, okay, no, we need to go to the safari hotel. Next moment, the guy says, no, he's not there, he's at the bank. So we go to the bank. And here comes this fancy guy, pink shirt, nicely collared up, hat. And he gets into my Bucky at the back, and I'm like, what's up? He says, no. And this guy who wants to buy the Bucky, he's all amped because he's going to get a lot of money. And this guy at the back, he just takes out the cash. So this is not something that fits in your wallet. It's also not something that fits in a little plastic checkers bag. All right? We're talking about serious money that was placed on the table here. And this was in my car. And immediately when I saw it, I was like, hey, chaps, what's happening here? If you carry that amount of money with you, have you got snipers that's checking? I just want to tell you that my case, my place where I am now is in a very good space. So if I die today, for whatever you guys are planning, I'm going to Jesus. Are you ready? So there was a moment there where I was like, whew, God, I'm so glad I'm in you. Okay. But now the feelings, and as we go along with the sermon, you understand certain feelings that I had. So I was in a sense driving this gender, but not feeling really good about it. Because the next moment they take out stones, little stones. I'm like, this is straight from a movie. And I'm being honest with you this morning because that's how it happened. So everything in me started kicking against what's happening here. But inside my drive was, hey, let me just get my money and I'm out. My buck is sold. I've got another deal lined up. Things are going great. So where was I? I was in a good space, even though situation didn't feel right. So guy didn't have all the money, and I thought, oh my hat, how much more is there? So it was like almost 7 times more that he had to receive, and I'm like, no, whoa, what's with? No, but they're busy counting the money, and eventually the guy got out, and I dropped him off somewhere. And then later in the afternoon, we went to go fetch the real money because he needs to go deposit it. So I said, okay, fine, I'll meet you at the bank. We transfer the money, all is good. No, he'll just deposit it in cash. I was like, whoa, hey, we're having a good day here, ne? Because I'm getting the money straight away and I can immediately transfer deposits for the new vehicle. But next moment, another 2 guys gets in the vehicle. They're like, no, we need to go with you because we can't give you the money. And it was a dear makarspel, you know. I was tired afterwards. But in the end, we got to the bank. And the guy with the neat hat had to bring us the money. And as I was walking back, I was arranging with my banker to negotiate my deal and settlement and everything. And this guy hears the following words. No, I see him. He's going there. So he starts running. I promise you, it's like out of a movie. He starts running. I phone him up and say, hey, buddy, where are you? Because we need to meet at the bank. I've been at the car. I've been at the bank. And now it's a scaly situation because I need to wait here, and then this guy will come. And oh, he phones me, says, what are you trying to do? You're trying to set me up. You want to steal my money. I said, hey, bro, listen up. I just want my money for the bucket. Then you can get out. You can take the bucket. I'll walk home. Don't worry about it. Here's the registration documents, contract. Everything is in place. You go, and I'll go my way. I said, you're not going to start accusing me of trying to set you up. No, but you did this and you did that. I was like, hey, if you listen to what I said, I was actually speaking to my own banker, and I was telling you that I see you guys. So eventually, at the end of the story, this whole little thing that happened blew up. And this guy says, hey, I can't, you're a scallum, you're a crook, I can't deal with you. So immediately I feel very offended because, hey dude, I'm a pastor, I don't do these things, but I'm in the middle of this situation, and I had this good feeling, but eventually I realized, hey, things are not working out. And the next morning where we actually should have met, I heard the words clear, God saying to me, this deal is not going to happen. You know that utter disappointment of settling in you, and you've made arrangements and deals for this one to happen so that the next thing falls in place, and you went on somebody's word. Man, I was disappointed. Because I still believed in my own heart, hey, this is going to happen. This is gonna come through. I was sitting at the bank for 1 hour. I was waiting. And initially this guy phoned up. He says, listen, no, I'm still at this place and I still need this and this to happen. I realized, it's not going to happen. This deal is not coming through. And it was hard to hear the words of the Lord again repeated in a sense where the Spirit comes and tells you, hey, I told you it's not going to happen. But there was a moment that God intervened in this whole situation where I could have been in serious trouble. You know, the headlines of the Republican pastor being locked up for trading in stolen diamonds? Woo! And then the words of the Lord repeated. Just as I was busy training our youth leaders in Parkies this week, and I read to them the following words, and that exact same day, this happens to me. And I want to quickly read it to you. I think it's on a slide as well, Melise. It's Genesis 39, verse 2. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor, and that's how the story continues. So recognizing God in a situation, so we start off with this one first. The Lord was with Joseph. And I look back this morning and I say, thank you, Lord, that you were with me. Because you intervened in what could have been a very difficult situation. So checking the time, I've got to run through again. We got 3 points of that I want to convey this morning. So last week we spoke about the 3 A's of recognizing God in a bad situation, all right? So that's when we feel in our heart, you know, things are not working out. God, it feels like the world is against me. Everything that I try, everything that I do is just not working out. So we have the 3 A's, which is accept or assess, acknowledge, and accept, all right? So the assessment is saying, okay, where am I and where is God in my situation? Acknowledgement is saying, God, I need to recognize that I'm in this situation, but I cannot do it without you. And then the last point of acceptance is saying, okay, Lord, but I really know that I cannot do it without you. So I accept it, and I'm going to let you continue in this way. So the moment that those words left my mouth last week, this started happening. And in the midst of that, I had to sit back and say, Lord, let me assess. Where are you? Where am I? And it was actually me that stepped back and did not really, really listen because I wanted to get this thing through. So let's go to Genesis 39, verse 7 to 18. I'm going to read it from a New Living Translation. It says the following, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. So it's not relating to me. The story is similar, but let's just get it there out there. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Again, that's why I told you my story first, so that you do not draw a specific line as to Joseph's story today. Okay, so you guys guess where we're going. So please just, these were all guys involved and they wanted to take my car. All right, so it's straightforward. So come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Please remember that. This is a valuable key point that we're going to take from that. So she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came in and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon, all the men came running. Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, she ran outside and got away. But he left his cloak behind with me. She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. And listen carefully, the word says, then she told him her story. That Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me, she said. But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me. Okay, so now we sort of know what the story is about, and we know there's a difficult situation here. And again, there's no similarities between what I went through in terms of the actual events, but the similarities is what position did Joseph find himself in and what position did I find myself in. So both of us were in a good place, I want to say. So I was in a happy space, and Joseph, I believe, was in a happy space before this woman started coming on to him. All right. But here's the key. The Lord was with Joseph. And even though he had to face, God set him up with an amazing plan. And he was basically just doing his job. Here comes a wife. She wants to take him into bed, and it's a whole caboodle. Now, if you think of Joseph's family, look at the order of Joseph's family. His dad Mr. Jacob wasn't the straight and narrow guy. I mean, he had wives, concubines. There was 11 or 12 brothers, then Joseph, then another sister. So it was also, in today's terms, a dysfunctional family. Thinking how things could have been. But Joseph was completely taken out of it. His brothers wanted to kill him, so he's taken out of it. He's brought into slavery because he knew God chose him right from the beginning. So in this moment, he's completely away from that. But there's a generational thing that can continue here. And God, in a sense, has to intervene. And he allows certain things to happen to Joseph because there's a greater story at the end that we need to see. So Stephen has told us at men's camp, those of you that's been there, you know, he says the one thing is if you find yourself alone in a room and a woman comes in, she takes off all her clothes, that is a time that you do not pray, but you run. All right? That's the only time where you don't get on your knees and you pray, but you run as far as you can and as fast as you can. And this is exactly what Joseph has done. You know, the moment that things got in that uncomfortable, difficult situation, he ran. With me, I did not run. So God intervened in a very special way of allowing a little bomb to burst, and I was separated from the situation. Even though I tried to hold on to it because I wanted this thing, it still separated. And looking back this morning, I am truly grateful and truly thankful for how things worked out. Okay, so the first point this morning is connect. So when we recognize God in a situation, in a good situation, there's the first thing that you do is you need to remember that you need to stay connected with the Lord. So sometimes we will go through in the morning, look, we all have, most of us has the Bible app, so we follow the daily plans, and we start reading from 5 to 5:15, we pray a bit, or 6 to 6:30 or something like that, we pray a bit, and then the rest of the day has to start. So Lord, we've given you this day, it's amazing. Now we get into our situations, we get into our daily tasks and routines, and we get a bit distracted by that. But even though it's not just bad situations, it's good ones because we feel good at work, we're making a difference, we're making an impression, there's a moment there where we are not 100% connected. Because the situation is a good situation. It's only in that bad place, that moment of, oh, Lord, things are not working out. That's when I truly go on my knees and I call out to God. I say, hey, Lord, you need to help out now. But isn't it the same with a good situation? Shouldn't we remain connected so that the Holy Spirit can guide us into these good situations to become even better? Joseph, I believe, and if you read the story, did not have this deep, intentional relationship with God. He did not, as far as I can read from the Word, there's no scripture that takes us to the place where, and Joseph prayed, and Joseph did talk to the Lord. But the thing remains is God chose him for a specific purpose, and God remained with him. So God laid a good foundation through his parents, because God spoke to Jacob. And I think in the same way God spoke to Joseph, but it's not as intentional in the Word as we see it with Jacob. Jacob had a wrestle with the Lord and he lost. We don't want to get there. So the relationship wasn't that intentional. And Jacob, Moses, David, etc., had a fantastic relationship with the Lord because we can see it in the Word, it's conversation that followed. So with Joseph, it's slightly different because God set him up with something, but he was continuously with him. He remained with him. God was always with Joseph. So The main thing remains, the first point in connection is that you have to remember that you are chosen. That God chose you for a specific reason. So in a good or a bad situation, and this morning in a good situation, being connected reminds us of being chosen. Saying, you know what, I've been chosen for a reason, so there's something that I need to do and accomplish. Even in a good situation, can I become better than what I've done and what I am? So connecting, staying connected, that's your first point this morning. Say, Lord, hey, desperation sometimes draws us away from that connection. Because we reason with our own hearts and our own minds. But in our connection, in remaining, in a sense, within the Lord, and this is a very spiritual term sometimes, because how do you do it? But it's a constant reminder of waking up in the morning and starting conversations, not with your wife or your husband or with your dog, but with the Lord. The moment that your eyes open or are halfway open or that your alarm goes off, that's the first word you utter, saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, what shall I do? So connecting with God is a crucial point. And remaining connected, because that first initial connection is that point of saying, yes, Lord, here I am today. What can I do? How are we going to do it? But you're in that moment. That's your quiet time. You're in that moment. Yes, we are. But the moment that you are distracted by your workplace, things start getting difficult, because how do you remain connected? And that's a point that you need to remember. So when you think this week, the first C that you think of is connect. Remain connected. And it's easy to be reminded, because we connect to the internet, we connect on social media, we connect with friends and family, we connect at the work, there's fellowship, there's all these things. So somewhere along the line, we need to connect. If there's a new business deal on the table, hey, we need to connect with those guys, because we want this business. But first, connect with the Lord. So the word connect should be part of it. It should be in that conversation, saying, Lord, how do I connect? What shall I do? How do I get here? How can I be the best that I can be? Even if in this good situation, Lord, we're going to strike a massive deal today. I need to remain connected to the Lord. Okay. So it's a conscious decision. It's a decision of saying, Lord, I want to separate my emotional state, my emotional reasoning, to that from my heart, so that my heart can be aligned and that I will actually listen. Not in my case, where you hear the first one says, this is not good, you need to run. Get these people to get out of your car, take your bucky and go. So just keep in mind, you know, connecting is not just to connect. The key is not to connect, but it's really there to remain connected. Our connection starts the moment we open our eyes, as I said. And then Ephesians 2 verse 10 said, and this is something to remind us that we can remain connected. Because it's, in a sense, who you are. For we are God's masterpiece. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago, today, and tomorrow. And the plan He has for you, He set up already. The moment that you were just a thought in His heart. God is not surprised by our decisions. You know, sometimes He just has to direct us to remind us again to remain connected. And verse 9 tells us that with Joseph. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. He's a conscious decision to know what is right and wrong, and to remain in that moment, saying, Lord, sure, hey, You stay away from me. This is not good. This is not a good situation. And that's how we apply it, consciously. Number 2, confess. Okay, so this is not the Roman Catholic way, where you go and sit in the booth, and even though it's a good situation, You have to confess all your sins before things happening. Things happen. Absolutely not. For me, being in out of the situation brought a great deal of relief. You know, I was there in that moment feeling anxious, feeling sort of compressed by what's going to happen. But the moment that I was away from it, the moment that this little balloon burst and we separated our ways, that's when the relief came in. All right, and that's important with a confession, is that my own motives and emotions played a big role in driving this good situation that I was in, this good challenge that I had. But there's a place for us to say, God, I need to separate myself so that you can have your way. And a confession is not saying that I've done something wrong. Confession is just acknowledgement of God in the situation. Lord, you've guided me. Yes, thank you for allowing this bomb to burst. Because now I can actually see clearly. Sometimes we need that shake in order to there. So Joseph could have also continued with his transaction, and he would have had severe consequences. But a consciousness in his spirit said to him, there's something wrong. So by confessing it, in a sense, you know, it would be a great sin against God. That's a confession saying, hey, how could I do such a wicked thing? No, stop here. I'm confessing that this would be a great sin against God. That's an acknowledgement of God in my situation and saying, whoa, I'm going to step away from this. So did everything work out for him? Absolutely not. He was thrown in jail. But that's okay. That's okay. Did my deal work out? No. There were certain consequences after that as well for me. But my confession at that moment was acknowledgement, okay? Acknowledgement of saying, Lord, thank you that you had me, that you had my back, that you covered me. Thank you, Lord, that you covered Joseph in this situation so that we can learn from that today. Ephesians 2 verse 22 says, through him you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. When we remain connected and we can acknowledge, we can live in that place of acknowledgement through the Lord. Why does that happen? Because God has made his dwelling place in us. And that confession, that acknowledgement is saying, Lord, this is your house. Everything in it belongs to you. Everything that happens in my neighborhood, in my street, is part of your greater plan for me to make a difference. So my confession is not acknowledgement of yes, it's, we do the acknowledgement of sin in our lives. We agree, we have to do that. It's a repentance thing. But that's not really going to change the situation. The thing is, what we acknowledge is just saying, Lord, thank you that my door remains open for you to walk in, for you to dwell, for your Spirit to make your dwelling place in me. And first that we, again, so when we make the acknowledgement, we are reminded of our connection with God. All right, that's just such a vital part of getting through a good situation as well. We connect, we remain connected, we confess. So it's not always what you've done wrong, but it's basically just what we sang as well. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Okay? Confessing that his ways are higher than my ways, confessing that I am in him and am able to do great things because he strengthens me, confessing that we are more than conquerors. That is a confession I'm talking about. That is what I'm speaking about this morning, is the reminder and the acknowledgement of who he is in my life. And the last part this morning, number 3, continue. Sometimes we would call every handbrake that we have available, we lift it up, put the car in park, and we say, I'm not going to go further. It shook me up. Do you know, here's the thing. God chose you for a specific reason. A little setback, even in a good situation, shouldn't be a place of sulking. And that should just drive us. That's why the three A's apply so much. When you get to that situation, you say, okay, let's assess. Oh, it's a setback. Assess. Acknowledge and accept. Again, this morning we go to the three C's. We say, Lord, I need to be connected with you. God, I confess that without you in my life, I'm nothing. Without your spirit guiding me, without your spirit telling me that this is not going to happen, or yes, it is going to happen, follow that route. And a constant reminder to remain in God. Oh, you know, we easily put up the handbrake. But this is the place to continue and push through and say, Lord, everything that I do is not about the feeling that I have, but it's about your will in my life and accomplishing that. Joseph didn't stop there. This was only the beginning for him that God had. And realizing, the continuing part is also realizing that in your life, God is teaching you something small that he's going to apply at a later stage. Whenever we go through these tough situations or even good ones and you've learned a good lesson or you go through this with an amazing feeling, you can be sure that that amazing feeling comes from a setback that you've had somewhere else in your life. Because that setback has taught you a small little lesson. Wrote the exam and said, now we're going on to the next one. Say, this is how we pass it. Because I've gone through it. God shapes us and tests us in a situation. If we stop, if we do not carry on through this, even in our good situations, then the shaping, in a sense, stops. It's like the clay, jar clay being formed by the potter when the machine is turned off. When there's no electricity, you're going to struggle to form the clay if the turntable doesn't work properly, if it's a new age. The older ones, they had the pedal. If your leg gets tired and there's no vibe, then the pot's just not going to form. So I, for one, know that I'm chosen. And that's why we can sing the song that says, who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. And then says, who the sun sets free is free indeed. Because, everybody can say it with me, I'm a child of God. And then that we go into the bridge part where it says that I am chosen. Amen. Okay? Not forsaken, because I am who you say I am. Wow. Man, shouldn't we walk with those words every single morning, every part of our hearts, every part of our beings, just here, saying, Lord, I am chosen, not forsaken, because you say who I am. Not everybody else, because you say who I am. And continuing is walking in that, acknowledging that you are a son and a daughter of God. It's not always easy, but it's possible. Because the Word of God is a promise in our lives. It brings the presence of God back into our lives. And it allows us to pursue the glory of God. Okay? We do not want anything less than to pursue the glory of God. Maybe some of you need to be reminded this morning of who you are. You see, Jesus came to set the captives free, not to keep us in captivity. That's why we are chosen by him, for his glory. As a believer, we have this privilege of a new life in Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 22, verse 22, 24 in the New Living Translation says, throw off the old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So in line with what we sang and what we've done this morning. Taking off our shoes, saying, Lord, we are on holy ground this morning. And in the spirit, we are supposed, we should actually, every day, walk with our shoes off. Because we walk on holy ground. We need to continue in the ways of how the Spirit is directing us. Directing us with a plan of God for our lives. You see, Joseph had a great start after his brothers sold him. So do not let every setback be that negative situation for you. But it's sometimes that excelling point of saying, it's maybe the rubber band that gets pulled back far enough, but you're placed sort of in that middle. And it's just that thing that God needs to release you for you to get out of that situation, out of that setback. And that's the conscious decision of saying, I'm going to continue, Lord. I'm reminded, Lord, that you are, I need to be connected with you. Lord, without you, I am nothing. I'm confessing that this morning. But Lord, I'm going to continue. I'm going to go forward with this. And Joseph had a great start after his brothers sold him. He was set up well. And he constantly and continuously asked this one thing. Lord, what shall I do? Is that a question you're asking? In a good or a bad situation? In the beginning of this week, myself and Malise watched a video clip. And I just loved what this guy said. Because it was just, again, another confirmation of my week. And everything that happened was this guy just said something. He said, when you are busy with the things of this world, the enemy will leave you alone. Okay? In actual fact, he will help you excel and build a great empire in this. But the moment you start working on kingdom-minded things, it's like the biggest telescope in the world are zoomed in on you. And he will go out of his way to put you in harm's way, to put you in danger. All right? And if you do not know who you are, you're in trouble. Because that's when our situations become bad. That's where we need to sit back, assess, accept, and acknowledge. Are we kingdom-minded in our good and our bad situations? It was so nice to have a school, sort of a school braai with the school board on Friday night. And the moment that we sat there, I said to Malise, hey, for one of our outreaches or something that we want to do, let's invite these two people to come with us and just spend time with us. We don't always need to invite them into church. We just have to do life with them. We just have to show them, you know, that God is actually real in my life, not because I am Bible bashing everybody, but because I live by the Word. All right? And this morning, those three things should redirect you to get you excited about this week again. And we can switch off the lights because we're going to go. I want us to go in a small moment of connecting with the Lord this morning, of confessing to the Lord this morning that even though in our good situation, Lord, we might have slightly forgotten because we were so happy and so joyful that we didn't recognize that we can do better, we can do more. And for some of us, we've stopped. That setback or even the good situation has stopped us from continuing within the Lord. And we need to get to that place this morning of allowing God to connect with us again. So as we end off, we say, Father God, thank you this morning that you are the author and finisher of our hearts and of our lives. That, Lord, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father God, that we will stay connected with you. Lord, we will confess that we cannot do anything without you and your Spirit, Lord Jesus. We confess this morning, Lord, we've neglected your dwelling place, but the Holy Spirit, come this morning and renew that in our hearts and in our minds. Yes, Lord. And Father, release the handbrake that we will continue in your ways, knowing that we are chosen, not forsaken, because you say who we are. We are who you say we are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.